Welcome back. Great to have your company wherever you might be listening. One of the all-time greats is a bloke by the name of Stuart Lowe. If you haven't heard of Stuart Lowe, his record speaks for itself. 321 games with St Kilda, 594 goals, All-Australian a couple of times, St Kilda Footy Club best and fairest. He was around in the Lockett days, and I think he was the hero of guys like Nick Riewoldt and a few of the St Kilda boys who came through after him. And he's good enough to give me some of his time, because one of the big things about Stewie Lowe was that he improved his goal kicking over time. So I want to talk about goal kicking and a few other things with the great Stewie Lowe. Welcome to the program. Stewie, I understand you're in the middle of homeschool at the moment.
Mate, I am today, so I'll have to apologise to the listeners in advance if I've got two little rugrats pestering me and asking me for a kick. We're actually at PE time at the moment, so that's sort of my favourite part of homeschooling. So we've counted out 20 push-ups and burpees, and we've got a little running track, and ironically, very topical, some goalposts. So we've just done a bit of goal kicking. So, hopefully I can pass on a few tips that I learned over my journey.
Oh, the great part about your goal kicking was such that you kind of had Lockett down there for a while, and you had a couple of other guys that could do the heavy lifting at times, and yet you developed your goal kicking to the point where you became a really, really reliable kick late in your career.
Yeah, look, I had to do a lot of work. I was a very sort of mechanical footballer, and my father had a soccer background, so I didn't really get much tutorish early, and probably had some pretty bad habits when I first went down the footy club. But Peter Hudson has become a great mate of mine. He worked with me for probably a good 2 years, and ironically, we'd just been beaten pretty comprehensively over in Perth, and we'd flown over back on the red eye, and Kenny, he pulled us into training on a Sunday morning, and down at Moorabbin, and it was we were doing some run throughs and some sprints and some 400s and just basically penalties, and I'd missed a few, so I decided to just have a few shots at the end of the training run, and Hutto was sitting up in the grandstand, the old grandstand at the time, and I was just having some shots with one of my teammates standing on the mark 30 metres out from goal. And he yelled out to me and he said, "Stewie, I want you to come up and have a look at this." And there was that much dew on the ground. I had worn a track with a huge sort of hook. And unbeknownst to me, and you know, everyone had told me, but you know, back in those days, we weren't adverse with all the videos and all that type of stuff and that type of footage. By actually seeing what I was doing from a different perspective, rather than being told what I was doing, suddenly I thought, okay, I know what I need to do. So yeah, we started to tweak it and change a few things, and I just got into a real routine of putting a mark on the ground, which I think's become a bit of a norm now, and really keeping my head focused on that spot. And much like a golf swing, I just stuck to that routine, which I sort of got comfortable with.
And the stats back you up, because early in your career, you had 17 seasons in the game. Early in your career, I think in 88 you kicked at 41%, in 89 you kicked at 39%, and then you get late in your career. In 2000 you kicked at 72%, in 2001 at 76%. So in those last 3 years of your career, you kicked 34, 13, 19 goals 6, and 17 goals 7. So the stats back it up. So was it purely repetition of a good routine that got you there?
It was repetition, Dwayne. It was also the realisation of how bloody hard it is to get your hands on the footy. And you probably, I think as you know, certainly with me, I think in those early days, I look back and it was just a blur. But you were just concentrating on trying to get the footy, and then everything else is a bonus. I think as you go through your career and you start to understand what your role is and how important it is, and you know, you coach it off and say, you know, come on, guys, you know, as a forward, you know, they've busted their backside to get the ball down to you. Take your time and, you know, slot it through. It's just demoralising if you're missing easy ones. And I must admit, just through probably not having the confidence. You know, I was hearing the noises in the crowd. I was hearing the people holding their breath. Where's this one going to go? And until I did that work with Hutto and repeatedly put myself in that situation, that game situation, which Paul Callery also did a lot of work with with me in regards to sort of my mental approach to my goal kicking. I just shut that out, and I just believed I was going to kick the goal. So it was a combination of a whole lot of things, mate. But I think at the end of the day, it was just in retrospect, just going back to that routine and actually just believing it and knowing that it was going to work.
Who would you have kicked for your life? Would it have been Lockett? Because looking back at some of these old games that are on right now, Lockett and Dunstall had a lot of kicks from, you know, 30, 40 metres out. I'm curious to know who you would have if you had to have someone kick from the 50-metre arc, from 51 or 52, with that pure rhythm. Because a lot of the old people say Super Boot Bernie Quinlan was the template. But I was just curious to know whether there's someone else that you sort of looked at as being, you know, the icon from long distance back in those days as a centre-half forward, more so than a full forward, and a centre-half back where you played for a while.
Yeah, yeah. Great question. Bernie'd have a shot much like Cuz, much like Nicky Winmar. You know, I remember at the MCG one day he hit a torp from about 75 metres out, and I'm not exaggerating, but you know, Nicky had that uncanny knack of hitting them sweetly from 60. You know, Bernie, absolutely. But you know, I wouldn't go past Plugger. Yep. You know, if my life was his technique to me is second to none. He drops the ball so low, and it was ironic that that shot he had to, I think, break Coventry's record was probably the biggest mung he'd done in his whole career, and he probably froze up a little bit. But he was someone that I continually sort of looked at and tried to emulate, with the fact that his ball drop, there was very little margin for error, and that was something that Hutto used to do with his flat punts, you know, back in the 70s, and he was an advocate of that. You know, the less distance the ball had to travel from hand to foot, the less you know, opportunity it had to deviate. So yeah, to answer your question, Dwayne, I would definitely say sort of Plugger, from anywhere from 55 out, without a shadow of a doubt.
What about on the run? What about from the pockets in those days? The days of, you know, Peter Dacos, Ablett Senior, Acker was pretty good at it for a while. Who would you back to get it on the run from a pocket? Or would you still go default to a guy like Plugger? Because I don't remember him having that many shots from pockets on the run.
Yeah, I'd go to Milne.
Yep.
You know, sort of. I was fortunate enough to play only 3 or 4 years with Milne, but look, I consider him as a guy that will go down as being one of the top 10, easily the top 10 small forwards of all. And you know, he just worked on his craft. He knew which way the ball was going to bounce. He knew how to shape the ball. He had a great sense of being able to manoeuvre his body to out-position his opponent, much like Dakes. You know, the two and Eddie Betts, or the three of those, would be my standouts as someone that I'd like to be getting the ball in their hands, sort of around their pocket, for sure, definitely. And all of them would be hard-pressed to pick the best.
Talking to the great Stewie Lowe, Stewie Buckets Lowe. You mentioned Tony Lockett. Stewie, I've got that game tonight on Fox Footy, the game that the big steal, where I think you were 48 points down early in the last quarter,
yeah,
at the SCG. Tony Lockett was rampaging. He ran through Peter Cavan and took him out with the elbow, and then he got his elbow taped up at quarter time to get the blood from dripping from the cut that was on his elbow that Peter Cavan dared make with his face. Talk me through that game. Do you remember that game still vividly?
No, I'm looking forward to watching it tonight. Rui told me yesterday that it was going to be replayed. I remember distinctly just basically sitting back in awe in the last quarter. Viewers, there's not a lot of that I did in the last quarter apart from watch the ball go over my head at centre forward and watch the big fella go clunk. But no, look, he was amazing. We were privileged to be a part of just an amazing effort, and see him single-handedly sort of rip games apart. That was amazing, that game. Yeah, we we probably didn't really talk about it three-quarter time of trying about a bit about pride and beating them on the scoreboard. But, yeah, halfway through the quarter, we got a real sniff. And, I think we sort of sensed probably about halfway through the quarter that something pretty special was about to happen. And the big fella never really said much, but his actions sort of did most of the speaking. And he was on song that day. He was absolutely on song.
Yeah, it was 1984, so it wasn't that long ago. It is amazing when you look back on it now, because we kind of all accepted that level of nastiness in games just to be part of the game. It's hard for the modern generation to look back and see those incidents happen and say, was that really just what happened in those days?
I've sat on the Tribert funeral, Dwayne, since 2003, since I retired. So I've been sort of privy to the whole sort of generational switch and change. I've also got a 20-year-old that I've watched come through junior footy. I've got three little boys that are all in Auskick. So I understand where the game is heading and where it was. I, for one, never feared anyone or had any sort of concerns about head high tackles or king hits behind the play or anything like that. I think we probably look for them a bit more now, which is understandable because the game, we're showcasing the game for everyone to see, and that is understandable. In Plugger's defence, looking back at it, did he mean it? Was he protecting himself? Did he? You know, it was one of those things. Obviously, the consequence of the action and what happened. He was going to get rubbed out, but I don't think it was as malicious as what we've seen. And I've seen the big fella do some other things to some other players and some teammates along the way as well. So it was all part of it, you know. As forwards, you'd cop it massively from the defenders non-stop. So, you know, every now and then it's nice to get a little one back, but not in resulting in what happened, obviously, to Peter. That was definitely not the case. So I've got an injured little boy here.
I better let you go. Hey, before I let you, you got to go. Do you going to run? I better let you run.
No,
I want to give you building. Let me give you building a business a plug as well. You're still in the building game. I understand you are. Lowy Projects.
Absolutely, Low Projects. Do a lot of work around sort of Caulfield, Brighton, in partnership with Henry Ritterman, who played 30 odd games for Melbourne back in the 70s, who's a fantastic architect. And we do a lot of design and construct. And look, it's tough for everyone out there at the moment. And, you know, our game, our business is going to be probably impacted later than others. But we're going well. And just trying our best, and I think I've built a nice home, mate. So thanks for the opportunity.
Low Projects, Leowe Projects, and get on to it. Great to have a chat to you, Stewie. Really appreciate your time, and I better let you attend to your injured child.
Yeah, no worries at all. Thanks, Dwayne. Thanks, mate. Cheers,
the great Stewie Lowe joining me. Great to have a chat to him. Take your calls next. 1-300-736-736. 1-300-736-736. I want to talk to you about who you would have kicking for your life from 50 or even on the run from the pocket, because it might be those guys that have got the percentages in their favour, like Dunstall and Lockett, who had those percentages in their favour because they had a lot of set shots in the day. But maybe there was better guys on the run and their stats don't necessarily back it up because they had so many shots from the pocket and took it on. That Low Projects, I think I've got Stewie Lowe spelling wrong. L-O-E-W-E is the way to spell Stewie Lowe's Low. L-O-E-W-E, not L-E-O-W-E. Stewie Lowe joining us, one of the all-time greats. You with Dwayne Swell.